I'm Ryan Bitson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is More The Players, the Pop Culture Explosion Podcast Extra, where we dive deep into a specific topic. Today, it is LEGO Horizon Adventures. Max, what is LEGO Horizon Adventures?
So LEGO Horizon Adventures is essentially the retelling of Horizon Zero Dawn in a more upbeat and family-friendly way. You know, being a LEGO game, so it kind of downplays the apocalyptic nature of what is Horizon Zero Dawn. There's a lot more jokey jokes. There's a lot more... they've changed up how you meet and interact with some of the characters. It's a lot more lighthearted and very much focused at a younger age demographic than what we are as Horizon Zero Dawn players.
And dudes in our 30s.
Nah, it's just Horizon Zero Dawn. it's cool.
Yeah. So essentially, as Max puts it, it is just Horizon Zero Dawn in LEGO. But we'll touch upon it in a couple different ways. First of all,
it's Horizon Zero Dawn abridged.
Well, exactly. I was about to say from a story perspective.
Hang on. Abricked.
That's the name of the review right there. Yeah, it is exactly that. It is an abridged retelling of Zero Dawn. It hits a lot of the key beats, like obviously Rost, but in a much less dramatic way. You know, the proving is still there somewhat. How she gets the focus is like completely wished over just to make it nice and simple. There's no real explanation of like the greater like world apocalyptic, but it's... how she finds out who her mum is, which takes a whole 50-hour game. It's done in about half hour, 45, yeah. 45 with an app, you know, like. So how did you find the compressed retelling of Zero Dawn?
It was fine. Look, so this game is very, very much not for me. So when I first saw it, I was like, I don't think this is for me. I've only played Horizon Zero Dawn. I haven't really dove into Forbidden West. As much as I liked Horizon Zero Dawn, Forbidden West, for whatever reason, didn't gel with me. And I kind of, when we saw the preview for this game, I'm like, hey, I don't think this is for me. But as I've been, you know, speaking about on our podcast, my daughter is really into Astrobot, and she's been playing the Horizon Zero Dawn level on repeat for ages. And this being a family-friendly LEGO game with couch co-op, I'm like, hey, I'm going to play this with my kid. She'll get a real kick out of it. And I enjoyed the game from the perspective of playing it with my kid. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there to replay Horizon Zero Dawn in a different way, whereas I was just enjoying the experience that the game provided for me and my child, which was awesome. She got a kick out of it. She's like, hey, obviously over above my head here, we've got the LEGO Horizon tall deck. So every time a tall neck appeared on the screen, Heather's like, oh, same thing, Dad. And I'm like, yeah. So she got really into all the robots, you know, seeing the sawtooth, the giant shell crab things, the thunderjaw. Yeah. She loved it all. She's like, hey, are there LEGOs of those? Can we get those too? And I'm like, oh, probably eventually there will be. Like, if this sells Please. Well enough, I have a feeling that that could be a path that they go down. And she got a kick out of it. Obviously, she didn't really care about the story. She was just in it for the gameplay. The gameplay is very akin to every other LEGO game known to man. You kind of... it's pathed very easily, so you follow the yellow... nubs, I think they're called, for the tiny little circular.
Oh yeah, the little Lego-y bits. Yeah.
If it's gold, it means you're going on the main quest path. If it's silver, it's a side quest. It will generally lead to like a hidden treasure or a collectible or a buildable Lego set area that you can build something to gain more coins, to purchase costumes and all that fun stuff. So very simplistic in its design. It kind of carries you through. It's that isometric top-down view. It does something different in... because I think the last LEGO game I played was the Star Wars LEGO, where you kind of... a lot of it was separate, and you had to go do one task. Your co-op team had to go do another task so you could separate. In this, you cannot stray too far from player one, or you'll automatically be disassembled and reassembled next to them. So combat was difficult because my daughter's like, I'm just going to run, Dad, so I don't die. And that meant that she ran away from me, which means I constantly teleported around the screen, getting sucked back to where she was because I let her be player one stupidly.
Which then shifting aggro, forcing her to then run again.
Yes. So it was really hard to shoot anything purely because my kid's gigantic chicken, apparently. I'd be like, Hadley, just shoot it. Just like, just stand there. We can just shoot it. We can take it. She's like, no, Dad, we've got to hide in the grass. Because if you hide in the grass, you can go stealth and they won't find you. Like in Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm like, it's not going to work. They've already seen us, dude. Like, you're running around with a can of chicken. You cannot just like hide in the grass.
Yeah.
Like, you got to help Dad fight these monsters. Otherwise, we're both going to die. And if one of your character dies, you turn into a ghost Lego brick and then you can resurrect each other. Yeah. And it's cool. It's good fun. She had a blast playing it. But yeah, coming from that retelling, that abridged version of Horizon, it just didn't hit the same way because obviously this is a very serious story.
Mm.
And it goes to some very deep places. And like, it's very early on. Obviously most people who are going to pick this up have probably played Horizon. So I'm going to tiny little bit of a spoiler. But when you meet Silence for the first time, who is essentially for the first part of the game, your narrator until you meet him. For some reason, he's having a fucking private DJ disco and he's DJ Silence. And he's found all this vinyl from the old world. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, Hadley thought it was hilarious. She loved it. She's like, she's sitting there spinning around in a circle, shooting arrows, going like, come dance, Dad. I'm like, no, what the fuck's going on?
You're disrespecting like, Silence here.
I'm so confused. Mm. So, like I said, this game is definitely not designed for us.
Mm.
Like it's not to onboard us. It's very much that family friendly Lego game. And I think in that sense, I think they nailed it.
Yeah.
But I found myself, so I predominantly played the entire game with my daughter. It took us just over 6 hours to complete the whole game of just story content. There are side things to do once the game's finished. You can go do the hunting grounds. Mm. To hunt the apex predators like you can in Horizon and do all that stuff and build out your the home base area more. We kind of bounced off it once we had finished the story. Hadley didn't really like doing just the boss fights over and over again, which is fair enough. As a kid, she enjoyed kind of exploring the levels, jumping around, doing the platforming and all that fun stuff. But it does do a pretty good job of telling the story and still hitting maybe not necessarily those deeper beats, but it still hits the overview as a whole. Like, you know, you realize that you're in a post-apocalyptic world. You are told that there is an evil trying to awaken the machines to make it worse. You are tasked with getting... in this, it's 3 flowers to build a super weapon to save the world. And you're collecting these metallic flowers that just randomly grow in places because. So it's very lighthearted in that sense. But yeah, it is very much focused at a younger demographic than what we are.
Mm.
But the game as a whole, as a Lego game, it works perfectly fine. It plays really well. It looks great. Like I do love that Lego aesthetic. Like I've played Lego Star Wars. I've got the Lego Harry Potter collection. I've got Lego Lord of the Rings. Like I do like those games. And they all kind of do that same thing where they kind of tell the story in a slightly more lighthearted fashion to not, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously, which I think is really good. Hadley enjoyed all the costumes that you can get because they have, like the Lego City Builders, they have Lego Ninjago in here. So after every single level, we had to go back and see what costumes we could buy. So she changed outfits every single time. As far as gameplay itself, there are four playable characters, I believe. You can play as Aloy, you can play as Tirsa, you can play as... Oh, what's that gentleman's name? It's eluding me.
Vaal, and then Vaal, the gentleman starts with E.
Yeah, with the big hammer.
Yeah.
The big and became a bro.
It's not Edward, but it sort of sounds like in my brain.
Yeah, so Hadley, for the most part, just played as Aloy. Yeah. Aloy obviously has a bow, and that's it. And then as you progress through the story, you get different upgrades for the bow that are just essentially usable items, so they'll only last... it's essentially like getting special ammo for the bow. So there, I think there was like fire, shock, freeze, all the elements that were in the game itself. And then there were usable like secondary equipment. So there was like bowcaster stuff, so you could put the trip mines down. There was just a straight up Lego brick disassembler, which was hilarious. You kind of just sledgehammer the sledgehammer the creatures. You could build a hot dog cart that would throw out, like, just spew explosives, and a few other ones that kind of helped as you progress through, which was cool. I played as Tirsa for pretty much predominantly the whole game once we unlocked her. She throws explosive vegetables and farm goods, which is hilarious. You just throw chickens at people and they blow up. The reason why I gravitated more towards her is because no one has a melee attack. They're all ranged. But when you throw bombs, when you hold down the attack button, you can move to where you essentially get like a marker of where you want to throw it. But if you just tap square, it throws it right in front of you, but there's no like friendly fire damage to yourself. So you can kind of tap it really quick and essentially be like a melee bomber, which is kind of what I played. The combat system was fine. Essentially, you do a little bit of puzzle platforming and then you're in a kill zone. Once you clear the kill zone, you go back to doing a little puzzle platformer section, then you'll do the next kill zone and so on and so forth. Like, it's very cookie cutter, rinse and repeat throughout all the levels. There's four chapters in the entire game, and each chapter you essentially play through a biome for four to five times to do separate objectives inside the biome itself, whether it be collecting things, saving other Nora survivors who have been kidnapped, saving, riding tall necks and doing the view section. The cauldrons were in here, which was really cool. That was a nice change of pace, having all the cauldron setups and going through those. Those tended to be a little bit more difficult puzzle platformy, so it was fun watching Hadley translate her skills from playing Astrobot for so long to her just nailing all the platforming sections in this was awesome. But yeah, like I said, she had a blast. I think the only complaint she had was she wished she's so used to using the gyro aiming whenever she plays games, because she uses the gyro aiming to shoot the bow and arrow in Astrobot. There's no gyro aiming for accessibility in this game because it's an isometric, essentially twin stick shooter to a degree. But she got the hang of it pretty quickly, which was awesome. She didn't really understand how the power ups worked, so she kind of just went, "Oh, whatever," and wasted a lot of her special ammo by just randomly shooting me, because although I take no damage, my character will like take a hit and like stumble. So she thought it was hilarious when I would be fighting something and she'd be like, "Oh, watch out, daddy, I'm gonna get you." Like, can you just shoot the robot, please? Like, that would be helpful. But yeah, overall I did enjoy this game because of the experience I got to share with my child. But I found myself, anytime I kind of sat down to play it solo to get through it, I didn't enjoy it as much, because it was definitely aimed at a younger generation than what we are. It's very much a kid family game as opposed to a hardcore gamer per se.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so in terms of everything you said, I do agree with pretty much everything. So I've played it predominantly myself, I guess. However, I had my son this weekend and we played together as well. So I've done the opening chapter three times now. So I did it myself. I then went and did it with my son. We recorded a video. It's up now. and then I also jumped into a game with our good friend Paul James over at Player 2. So I went over and joined their game. Because I joined their game, I joined their progress, and I did the opening chapter again. So I've very much done that front to back. That's worn out its welcome. At the time of recording, I am about halfway through chapter 3, so I haven't seen credits like you have. As you said, similar to what you said, visually, I think it's fantastic. The world is bright and vibrant and colorful, especially coming off of Silent Hill 2 Remake. God damn, do all the contrasting, vibrant, just beautiful colors. It's just, oh, so happy to be able to experience it. To extend on your point with the combat, it is, yeah, I find it incredibly simple. And I believe that is by design with that. When you tackle these robots, they have small attacks that will, like, if you hit them just anywhere, you get a small attack. But if you use your focus and isolate their components, you get a larger attack. So once again, straight out of the game itself. However, I found the distance between the two was quite substantial. So it did force you to sort of shoot, run around to the other side, shoot, you know, constantly try to line up a shot for a component.
It does force you to do that in the opening, like, tutorial section. It's like, hey, here's a training dummy. Use your focus.
Absolutely.
And then it shows you 4 points that you need to stand in and shoot the specific spot. Like, it does train you to do that very early, which is another reason why I gravitated towards TSR, because it was explosive damage. So most of the time, it didn't matter where you landed, you were hitting a component.
Yeah, so I mean that, it's great that is highlighted in the opening tutorial area. However, when you're playing by yourself and there are like 6 robots around you, trying to line all that up can get a little chaotic. It is certainly a fun chaotic, though. I never was like, nah, this is bullshit. Mind you, I was playing on like sort of the middle difficulty.
There's 5 difficulty tiers.
So. Yes, which is quite a lot. And it's very good, especially from that family experience. Yeah, so when in a co-op setting, having to tackle each angle is kind of fun. Now, I do believe it's only 2-player co-op.
Correct.
Yeah, it would be kind of rad if it was 4. It would allow that sort of tackling the robots together. However, I think that's probably too many in the size of the worlds they have.
I was going to say, it would get too hectic as well with the fact that you can't travel too far from each other. Can you imagine 3 people all trying to, like, getting sucked in and teleported around constantly?
Absolutely, and especially when most LEGO games are built on 2-player. So that would just be like a pipe dream if it's not like a genuine critique of the game. Mm. The thing that caught my attention the most is the retelling of the story itself. Excuse me. In that there are moments where the voice actor does sound like Ashley Birch, but then it drops. So I don't know whether it's her or... Is it her the whole time?
Yep. And Lance Reddick was a recast, obviously.
Yeah, since his late passing. But yeah, so she's clearly like throws a different twang on it, goes sort of upper couple registers, give it that more like chaotic, childlike sound. And then they've got the voice actor for Rost as well, and he plays the narrator. There's a lovely moment after...
Aaron, there we go.
So yeah, after the events that take Rost out of the game, there's a lovely little sort of, you know, as the narrator, he's all like, you know, the narrator was happy to see that she was blah, blah, blah. And it's a nice little emotional moment. It's kind of played within the confines of the two characters, but the humor I found really enjoyable. You know, I didn't find it interestingly. You know how there's this ongoing discussion in the world of movies and TV about this, you know, Gen Z millennial writing, like it's all the Marvel stuff. There are a lot of beats within LEGO Horizons that are similar, yet they landed and they felt better. Like, I genuinely had some good laughs out of playing this game. Even though it, you know, it didn't hit any major adult jokes, but there's like some self-referential stuff, enough to sort of, as a parent, go, and a kid to enjoy all the more silly stuff of like them eating sandwiches and hot dogs everywhere for some reason. But yeah, similar to yourself, the major joy of it was playing it with my son. We got through the first, you know, 2.5 levels, chapters together, and it was a blast the entire time. I spent the most time playing as Vile because he wanted to play Aloy, And Varl has like a spear, but majority of their power up were like a boomerang sort of spear, which one I quite liked. So you throw that around and you just sort of run. That would be actually great for Hadley.
I found that was really overpowered to begin with.
Absolutely.
You could get it stuck inside the robots and have it spinning for ages before it came back to you.
Yeah. So especially when I'm like, yeah, playing single player and there's like a bunch of bots, I'm just like, and then I'm done. And then I'm happy with that. So I find the story quite compelling in that sense, as how it condenses, as you mentioned, the key points of the game itself. So you kind of get the gist of it. And I was wondering, you know, like these two are coming out very similar. These two being LEGO Horizon Adventures and the LEGO Horizon Horizon Zero Dawn Remaster have came out in a similar time frame. So I do believe this is a conscious choice in that maybe the parents have picked up this, the kids can see it, and they go, oh, can I play that? Oh, well, you can't, but we can play this instead. Or they see that and they go, oh, it's based on that. Ooh, you know, that game looks incredible. Then they'll play it on their PS5. So I do think there is certainly some synergy between those two. It certainly made me want to continue playing the remaster, even though we have been. But I will see this through, mostly because I want to, and I'm sure my son will want to finish it. However, yeah, it is certainly, as you said, it's not for me in that the combat is very restrictive. The levels are cut and paste, slight variants. Find the chest, find the buildy thing, and then go fight, do the kill zone, as you called it, and then repeat. There's not a lot of that replay or that wanting to be able to duck off on different paths. And it is very in line with a lot of LEGO games are. However, coming off the back of one of the most recent ones being, as we mentioned, LEGO, the Star Wars Skywalker Saga, where there are so sort of like those larger worlds you can explore and mess about with, and a lot more of the world is interactive. But I think that's more of just a scale of investment in that it's Star Wars. People are going to go nuts on this. This is kind of the first go at it. So if they want to do all that, they'd have to expand it to spend more time, spend more money. Where here they get to test it, work it out, and ideally return to a sequel. And as you mentioned, release more Lego that we can purchase and build at home. That's the best. That's the major hope to come out of this for me. But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the chat. It was kind of just, I love it. It was like, you have a little monologue, I have a little monologue.
Yeah, it was it's very much, I kind of just went on a spiel, didn't I?
That was good. You like, you know, just picked up RAM with it. And I was like, oh, I'm not getting in this guy's way. He's killing it.
Yeah. It's not often that happens, so.
No, not really. No, but.
I mean, overall thoughts, I enjoyed the game for the experience that I got to share with my kid with it.
Yeah.
But as an adult playing it solo, it would be rough because it's very simplistic because it is not designed for adults. It's designed for kids.
Exactly. So, yeah, subjectively, not really for me because it's missing a lot of the things that I would want as an adult. But objectively, it is a very good game. It plays well. It looks well. It's enjoyable. The storytelling is great. It's just I can't really fault it outside of I don't think it was made for me. And that says a lot about the game in and of itself. So LEGO Horizon Adventures comes out. It should be out now, I believe, at the time of this goes live on the 14th of November. Big thank you to the team over at PlayStation Australia for providing us the review code to spend some time in the world of a LEGO Horizon. But if you've enjoyed...
Don't forget it is available not only on PlayStation, but PC and Switch.
That's correct. I forgot about all that.
Ooh. Yes. Don't forget, you can play it elsewhere, just not everywhere.
Yeah. So we play it on PS5.
Yes.
But if you enjoyed what we had to say, be sure to come check out our weekly PlayStation podcast called For the Players, the Pop Culture PlayStation podcast. It airs every Monday morning, commonly. On YouTube and your podcast services of choice, or it's this channel that you're watching right now, podcast that you've stumbled across. Hi, thank you for joining us. But until the next one, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was LEGO Horizon Adventures.